Did you know that kinky wellness is integral to your self-development? Hi, welcome to The Partition, home of kinky wellness, the ultimate destination to explore the integral connection between kinky wellness and your personal development. I'm your host and kinky wellness coach, Dana Shergill, and I'm here to show why kinky sexual wellness deserves a rightful spot within the wellness conversation. Don't forget to join me each Monday as I bring on a special guest to dive into specific aspects of kinky wellness. So let's strip away the shame and taboo together and have an open conversation about it. Hey, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed last Monday's episode with Anu. I certainly did. I think it was fun to bring him on the show. But today I'm going to be giving my review on a book that actually my cousin Genevieve recommended. This book came up actually after we discussed some other relationship self-help books that we agreed and disagreed with. Genevieve will actually be coming on the show in April because she is an interdisciplinary humanities PhD studies, and kind of what she does is very complementary to kinky sexual wellness. So I'm very excited to have her on the show. So stay tuned for that. But the book that Jen had recommended is a book titled Why Men Love Bitches, From Doormat to Dream Girl, A Woman's Guide to Holding Her Own in a Relationship by Sherry Argov. Sherry is a French-born American author who has written two books, the one that I'm going to be talking about today, and a follow-up book titled Why Men Marry Bitches, A Woman's Guide to Winning Her Man's Heart. Sherry's work has been featured nationally on shows like The Today Show, The View, MSNBC, MTV, and in magazines such as People, Variety Fair, US Weekly, Cosmopolitan, Glamour, Maximin, Elle, and Esquire. Why Men Love Bitches is a book that offers Sherry's advice to women on how to maintain a strong and independent attitude while navigating romantic relationships. Sherry delivers a unique perspective as to why men are attracted to strong women who stand up for themselves and how they are much more desirable than a yes woman who routinely sacrifices herself. Sherry does a very good job of promoting the idea that when a woman discovers her feisty attitude within, men will indeed find her magnetic. Sherry answers questions within the book like, why are men so romantic in the beginning and why do they change? Why do men take nice girls for granted? And why does a man respect a woman when she stands up for herself? In general, the book suggests that women should prioritize their own needs, interests, and goals, while also maintaining a sense of independence and self-worth. Sherry argues that by doing so, women can attract and keep the interest of men who value confidence and authenticity. The book goes into boundaries, communicating effectively, and how to avoid being overly accommodating or sacrificing your own desires for the sake of a relationship. The book clearly wants to empower women to cultivate a healthy balance in their relationships where everyone is seen and heard. It covers the importance of fostering mutual respect and admiration while also emphasizing the importance of self-confidence and assertiveness within the relationship. Also, the term bitch in the title is not being used in a derogatory way at all. The term bitch here is being used to convey assertiveness and self-respect. Right? Do we remember what bitch stands for? Or if you guys have heard the saying, it means babe in total control of herself. But even if you haven't heard that definition, Sherry defines bitch as a woman who won't bang her head against the wall obsessing over someone else's opinion, be it in a man or anyone else in her life. She understands that if someone doesn't approve of her, it's just one person's opinion and therefore it's of no real importance. She doesn't try to live up to anyone else's standards, only her own. And because of this, she relates to a man very differently, which is pretty fucking awesome, right? Now, although there's a couple of comments and jokes that probably wouldn't fly anymore because they're not, quote, politically correct, I actually found it quite hilarious. And overall, I quite like the book. So first and foremost, as this is a self-help book, I just want to say I absolutely love the layout and design of it. In total, there's about 100 pieces of advice that are broken down into 10 chapters. And after every advice, there's like a little blurb that expands on it. And throughout the book, Sherry gives a number of lists and charts filled with very to the point examples. And my favorite example of the chart she used is the ones that she would use with the scenarios where on one side of the chart, she would have what the quote nice girl would do. And then on the other side of the chart, she would have what the bitch would do. So one example of this is there is a question that asks, who is the boss of you? The nice girl senses how happy her man is and will pay very close attention to his approval of her. So in this scenario, he is the boss of her. And on the bitch side, her box says that she wouldn't obsess over the opinion or need the approval of the man. So in this scenario, the bitch would indeed stay the boss of herself, which is great. And because of all these like very easy laid out ways of taking in information, I feel that it's very, very digestible. And the book is filled with these type of examples of what the nice girl would do versus what the bitch would do. But one of the things that she commented on that I want to highlight is that she had a lot of great advice for women who act as though they can handle everything. So one of the advice was, if a woman acts as though she's capable of everything, she's going to get stuck doing everything, which I believe is quite true. And what's interesting is that this book was actually written about 20 years ago, right? It was written in 2002, which obviously means that the times have changed since then. But I feel that the progression over the last 20 years has very steadily gone in the direction of encouraging women to take on everything and put them in a position where they can, in fact, do everything. So we have made women believe that they can run a household while working a full-time job. Well, you know, if you have kids or don't have kids, plus, you know, maintaining a healthy, balanced diet and sleeping schedule, like we're being fed like women can do all this. But the reality is we're seeing a burnout like across the West, like at least in Canada. I see the stats here coming out of the United States as well. Like it's just a massive burnout that's happening. And although I do believe that, you know, we can really do anything that we set our minds to as a human being, we do have to be very focused on what we're actually doing. So if you are someone who thinks that you can do it all the time, no matter what it is, you're definitely going to run into burnout regardless of who you are. And I feel like when it comes down to this, because women have been told that they can take on everything and they should, women have this like knee-jerk reaction to want to take care of everything and everyone. And in the book, Sherry does go into this, but she actually views it from the point of like, if you are trying to take care of everything and everyone, this can actually look like control. And, you know, Sherry gets very much into that. But when you're in a relationship, you shouldn't be doing everything. That is so ridiculous. Like your partner does have to take on everything. And this can apply to men too. Like if you're the man in the relationship and you're doing everything and, you know, your partner is not doing anything, then yeah, you got to look at this as well. Another part about the book that I found refreshing is that encouraged women to stay mysterious and almost like the man is just within reach, but can't quite get to her yet. And this is what makes the relationship so much fun for the man, because it's like a game and keeping that teasing element is crucial. And this also backs up into another point that she makes, which is just about how much men are like hunters. And when you take away the hunt from them, you know, half the fun is gone. So what is interesting is I feel like the advice that I was raised with was, go out there and be a boss ass babe and get the man and be the first to ask. And yes, although I have done that, but the last time I was single, I did vow not to like ask a man again. I wanted to like wait around and see like, you know, about me being approached. And, you know, that actually turned into my now husband, who actually got down on one knee and asked me to be his girlfriend on a very November snowy day. And it's been history ever since. And obviously, this is just my experience. I'm not hating on the ladies that ask their partners first, so chill. But from my own personal experience, there really has been a quite strong difference in the tone of the relationships when I compare the ones when I asked them out versus the ones who asked me out. And this is just something that I kind of thought about after reading this book. But anyways, a theme of the book that I also really liked, there is a number of pieces of advice that went back to support how men don't really respond to words and that they respond to actions. So Sherry goes into, you know, the concept of women and nagging. So she supports that if a man, and I guess like we should know this, like I feel like I knew this even before the book, but If a woman nags a lot, the man will typically tune her out, right? Which even if a woman doesn't want to hear this, it doesn't change the fact that this is also kind of true, right? And we can see this, right? We can see how men communicate with men versus how women communicate with women, right? Like women have a tendency to have a very long conversations with stories that weave in and out of each other. You know, we can't really move forward until the last thing was done. While men can just sit around and say like a few words to each other here and there, but somehow they're still all on the same page. They don't need a ton of dialogue. So the advice in the book gave really tactile tips on how women can still show how they feel, you know, about a situation, but instead of nagging or saying something about it, she encourages them to use their actions, which will get their man's attention much, much faster. And if you really think about it, isn't that ultimately a woman standing up for herself, right? When she changes her behavior, when she feels there's some sort of like disrespect or imbalance. But what's funny about the nagging is that Sherry gave a list of 7 different types of naggers out there. And I'm going to give you those to you now because I want you all to hear the 7 different types of naggers out there. So the first one, there's the marathon nagger. So this is a woman who will nag for a long period of time. So she wants to pace herself for 2 to 3 hours. So she wants to make that marathon, right? She wants a long haul of just sitting there and complaining. And I know a couple of these people, right? Then there's the sprint nagger. This is a woman who will nag for a shorter period of time. So it's much more intense, right? They're short little bursts and she's going to get much more tired much more quickly. Then there's the momentum whiner. The momentum whiner is a woman who will start out with a whine and then they will slowly pick up the momentum, building up to a full complete nag. Then she'll end up crying. And then the longer she goes, the more momentum she builds up. That will show, you know, how long that scenario is going to go on for, right? So the longer the buildup, the higher the risk that she's not going to stop whining, right? Then there's the sunrise whiner, who is a woman who obviously complains as soon as the sun rises up. Then there's the nightcap nagger, who is a woman who just as the man is falling asleep into a deep REM sleep, she nudges him and reminds him of something he has to do the following day. Then there's the bushwhacker, who is someone who employs the element of surprise. Sherry writes that this is the type of person. And like, as much as this is about a woman, like this is like, these really could be for anybody. Like if these are just types of naggers, but anyways, Sherry writes that this woman is a woman who catches the man off guard at any moment in the day. And one moment it could be going fine and things are fine and dandy. And then without warning, that person will jump out of the bushes and of course, whack them with a nag. The last one is the sniper, and this is a woman who premeditates what she's going to say. So this is usually a well-placed shot that delivers a devastating blow with a very cutting remark. And, you know, out of this list, I want to say that I'm more like the sniper, but honestly, after reading it, I laughed so hard. Like, I seriously felt so attacked because, you know, the nightcap one, I didn't realize how often I actually do this, but I do that. Like as soon as I'm about to fall asleep, I'm like, oh shit, there's something I need to do. And I just turn over to my husband and I just say tomorrow. And he doesn't care, right? He's like half asleep. Like at this point, I know he's not listening, but I still say it anyways. But I'm glad that I see it, right? Because now that I see this, I am much more aware of it. So I'm going to be working on that, which is great, right? Another funny piece of advice that I liked is if you take away a man's chores and praise someone else for doing them, that man will want his chores back, which made me laugh so fucking hard because I've 100% seen this in real life. I don't know what it is about a man. Like, it's just like, oh, you don't want to do it? Okay, I'll get somebody else to do it. And then they're like, whoa, wait, I can do it, right? And I think, I don't know, maybe this is a part because men typically are a little bit more territorial, right? And I feel like if a man really loves a woman, right, he wants to be that person that gives her her pleasure, no matter what that form looks like, even if it's chores. Of course, no relationship book is complete without the advice to keep your sex life spicy. And this is, of course, what the partition is all about, keeping your sex life spicy to whatever flavor of spice that you like. So yes, make sure you switch it up in the bedroom from time to time. Make sure you put a wrench in that routine and add something different. Like, just don't get stuck in a rut. And if you are in a rut, use spiciness, you know, use the basics of kinky wellness to get yourself out of that rut. And if anyone has actually read a self-help book that encourages you to keep your sex life the same forever, please send me that book. Please send me. I would love to read that next. I would love to read that next and do a review on it. So yeah, let me know. But overall, I highly recommend this book. I thought it was incredibly funny. I thought it was an easy read. I definitely related to it. So if you're interested in reading Why Men Love Bitches, I have put the Amazon link in the description. But before I go, I do want to leave you with some advice points that Sherry gives in the book. So they're not in any particular order, but out of the 100, here is about, you know, 10. So she calls them attraction principles. So the first attraction principle that I want to give you is anything a person chases in life runs away. Another one is the women who always have the men climbing the walls for them aren't always exceptional. Often they are the ones who don't appear to care that much. Another one is if you smother a man, he'll go into a defense mode or look for an escape route to protect his freedom. Another one is sex and the spark are not the same thing, which is definitely true. Next is anytime a woman competes with another woman, she demeans herself. Another attraction principle, Sherry says, is when you cater to a man's ego in a soft way, he doesn't try to get power in an aggressive way. She follows that point with when a woman appears more softer and more feminine, they appeal to a man's instinct to protect them. When a woman appears more aggressive, it encourages his instincts to compete. The next two are principles 38 and 39, which are when a woman acts as though she's capable of everything, she gets stuck doing everything, right? Like I just mentioned. And the next one is men don't respond to words, they respond to no contact. The next attraction principle is the relationship may not be right for you if you find yourself jumping through hoops. When something is right, it will feel easier and much more effortless. Not saying that relationships don't take work, but it shouldn't feel like you're killing yourself to make this relationship work out. Next is regardless of how pretty a woman is, looks alone will not sustain his respect. Appearance may pull him in, but it is your independence that will keep him turned on. Next is when a man is very consumed with not being taken advantage of, this is a sign that he is on the take. Next is the tension that arises with a slightly bitchy woman gives a subtle feeling of danger to a man. He feels slightly unsure because she is never in the palm of his hand. Next, we have a yes woman who gives too much sends the impression that she believes in the man more than she believes in herself. And men typically view this as weakness, not kindness. And the last three advice that she gave are all very good. So I'm just going to roll call them out. But it goes, be an independent thinker at all times and ignore anyone who attempts to defy you in a limiting way. Next is truly powerful people don't explain why they want respect. They simply just don't engage with someone who doesn't give it to them. And lastly, the most attractive quality of all is dignity. So yes, I highly encourage this book. It was a good read. It was a very good read. So if you want to check it out, again, links will be in the description. But before I tell you who's coming on Monday, remember, if you are listening from Southern Ontario, I will be hosting an intimacy workshop with Ray Cherveski and Serena Haynes on March 24th. I will be hosting a kinky intimacy workshop, which is going to be highlighting the basic foundations of kinky wellness. And I'm going to really open up and expand what it means to play. Serena's workshop will help partners explore tactile connection and slow movements through touch and mindful presence. And of course, Ray's workshop is all about exploring our bodies and our partner's bodies through visual representation, self-reflection, and open dialogue. You're going to want to wear clothes that you feel good in, right? And that are comfy. And don't wear anything too tight because you will need access to your arms and legs. Tickets are $85 before tax and include admission for two and three workshops, all for less than $90. What? That's a crazy, crazy good deal. Plus, Serena is only in Ontario for those 3 days. And how exciting is it that you get to be in one of her workshops before she flies home? So that's super, super exciting. So yes, tickets can be bought using the link in the description and you can find it on Eventbrite. And if you, of course, have any questions, shoot me a message through Instagram at thepartition_life. But as for Monday, we are going to be having Shelby Avan on the show to talk about intimacy and attachment styles. So we're going to be going into the different types of attachment styles and how they're formed and clear signs of what attachment styles are and what that can look like in a relationship. So yes, yeah, stay tuned for that. That's going to be very informative. And I'm very excited to learn about attachment styles. I've heard about it, but I haven't had like a decent in-depth conversation about it. So that is super exciting. But as for me, I think that's all for today. I hope you guys have a splendid week and a fabulous weekend. And you guys know what to do. As always, stay kinky.